Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are talking all about why can't I find my purpose? And I think this one was not for me. I know what my purpose is to be right here with you and you. So there you go. So David, Soren Kierkegaard. Okay. I'm not much into, you know, like those types of authors or famous, you know, existential people, but I was doing some deep dive when you were going through this, and that dude has some really great lines and thought nuggets that I had never even heard of before. And I'm sure I did. It was probably in some sort of humanities class or philosophies class that I took in college. But the quote you said, something to the effect of the deepest form of despair is to choose to be another than himself.
Yeah.
Which basically is saying what?
That you're going to be what other people told you to be and not really know who the hell you are. So your behavior, your thoughts, your identity is all about what others projected on you as a way for you to be in this world, but you never really identified who you were at your soul level, your own authentic self. And it's vastly different. It's vastly different than what other people told us to be. So, you know, we could go down a whole rabbit hole about why people do it, but basically, in a nutshell, it's because that was the people of authority around us. That's what we needed to do to be safe. We accepted what they told us at some level. And then that was the way that we saw the world. So we looked for outside verification of that. We rebuilt it over and over again, and then we became it. But those individuals always know that something's not right. They go through their whole life and they could feel it. I mean, I felt it for 27 years.
There was
something
a pull. There must have been something pulling
right
you.
Here. I don't know what it is. Right. I don't know what it means. I had also had the feeling that there was something big for me to do in the world. I had no outside verification, no internal verification of that. But here's the thing. We're programmed to look outside for this answer. So that's why people come to me and they say, why can't I find my purpose? They're looking for what is the thing I'm supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be, right? They're looking for somebody else to tell them.
And they want you to tell them.
Yes, they want somebody else to tell them. And the answer is you have to find your own authenticity to find your purpose.
Sure.
Until you find your own authenticity, you won't find it.
Yeah, you probably hear it a lot. I mean, you hear people come to you all the time and say, I just don't know what my purpose is. Can you tell me? Is that also rooted in safety? Like, well, if David tells me to do it, then he must be right.
Right.
Even if they don't resonate with it on some level.
Right.
Because you can't do that. It's irresponsible.
Yeah, and I've toyed with it. Like, I'm going to tell this person what I think their purpose is and see what they say, right? And they'll be like, that just doesn't resonate with me. Of course it doesn't resonate with you, idiot.
Because it didn't originate with you.
It didn't originate with you. You don't even know who you are. You know, and I tell people all the time, if you'd have showed me what I'd be doing now, like say right today, when I was on that forklift, I'd probably punched you in the mouth. Right. I wouldn't have believed you.
There's no way.
And there's no way that was me. No fucking way. Absolutely not. You know, I just wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
There's too much of a gap between who you think you are in this moment to who you actually could be. You can't see how that would ever connect. There's just no way. But you don't know who you are at the same time. You are what other people told you. And when you see, like if a person, this is actually quite disturbing if a person would do this thing here. Get yourself alone for at least a few hours. And sit down and write down the way you see life, the way you really see it, not the way you would want, you know, you think that you would want me to hear you say it, but how you really see it, right? So like if I did this back when I was 20, right, it would have been childhood sucked, not making any money, quit high school, arguing with my wife, can't pay the bills, you know, blah, blah. It would have been just negative, 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 right? And what I didn't realize was that that viewpoint that I had came from my mother. That was my mother's viewpoint of the world. Although I probably, even if you'd have said, did you realize that that's how your mother sees the world? I don't know that I would have thought that then. And I can't go back and find out, but I'm trying to think, like, when I was 20, would I have had that realization? Now, I know my mother had issues then. I mean, then I knew my mother had issues, but I don't know that I would have realized that I had basically taken on the perception of the world and other people that was identical to the way my mother saw it. So there was no separation of self there, right? It was, this is the way that it is. And it took a long time of really kind of going back and forth between following this something, this feeling that things weren't right, and continuing to look and trying to self-identify with something else, but then finding out that the real problem was I was not saying what I wanted in life. And so that's why the whole thing about me on the forklift made such a difference, because it was really the first time that I put a stake in the ground and said, this is who I'm going to be. And those three attitudes, nobody had those three attitudes in my childhood. Nobody. There was no one individual, not mom, not dad, not grandparents, not brother, nobody, that had all three of those attitudes together. My dad had do your best, to work hard, to treat everybody with respect, but not love what you do necessarily. My mom didn't have any of those three, I don't think. I mean, I suppose there's a bit of working hard there, but the other two were definitely not there. And I don't know anybody that had those, especially when it came to loving what you do. The only person that I think had to love what you do was, I think, my grandmother eventually got there. But everybody else, they may have had one, but not the other two. They may have had two, but not the other one. So there was no model representation of here is an attitude to show up in the world and to find out who you are. And when I did that, I picked those three because that's who I was at my core. I didn't know that then either, right? Like, you pick something because it resonates with you. You don't pick it just because you pick it. There's something about it that says pick this, right?
Sure. So, yeah.
And that's what began to open the door. And the door opened wide and fast.
Sure.
Wide and fast. It was stark. And I needed that for me. I don't know if that was part of the plan or whatever,
right.
But just that little change. And it was the change of attitude which changed my perception, but it also got me to know me, and woo, this huge door of opportunity opened up.
Yeah, and you saw the results, like,
in 30 days.
Yeah, fairly quickly, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the huge thing. That's when you know you're on some sort of a purpose journey, is when you see results quickly like that, and you listened to that voice. There's a lot of people, so many people, who hear that voice saying, do this or be something more. It's your inner guidance. And you just say, nope, can't do it. Got to cash this check. Got to stay safe. Got to do what mom or dad did, or what mom or dad told me to do.
Yeah.
So many people just sort of disregard that conversation. And that's not great. Then they end up resenting that later on in life. So yeah, that was a really interesting concept. What was the inspiration behind this, just out of curiosity, this whole episode around, you know, why can't I find my purpose? Because we talk a lot about purpose in your events and on this podcast, and people are always trying to find it or search it or chase their purpose. And you basically said the purpose is already here.
Yeah.
So what was your inspiration behind this? Just curious.
So in thinking about coming up with content for the podcast, the one thing that I generally do is, like, I look around at what are the questions I'm hearing? What are the statements that I'm hearing? What problems do I see people having? And right now there have been two very big things that have been going on. So for inspiration for the podcast wise, one was the Jordan movie, The Last Dance, the docuseries or whatever, which I pulled a lot of information out of. But the other one was that, for whatever reason, probably because of the COVID thing, I've had an awful lot of people ask me questions like, how do I find my purpose? How do I get myself to do the work? How do I break bad habits? How do I overcome procrastination? And it's not just one, it's one after another, after another, after another. And it's like, okay, I'm going to take a few of these and just go deeper on them. Because it's not like we haven't touched on these before.
Right.
We have. But you know what? I'm going to go deeper on them. There's a relevancy that is going on right now with it, so I'm going to go deeper on it. So I put some more work into it. And I did kind of, well, as you say, I did pretty deep dive, especially on this one, because the purpose thing, I think, is one of the number one things that I get consistently. Yeah, I hear about the drive and I hear about the commitment and I hear about all that stuff. But the one thing that really does seem to elude people on a very mystical level, for them anyway, is the purpose thing. And I've explained it many different ways over the years. And I very often I come from the perspective of, look, all life has a purpose. You have a purpose, right? The universe doesn't keep your purpose from you. We keep our purpose from ourselves. What are we resisting? What are we not looking at? What do we don't realize that our purpose is actually here? And then I was going into it more and more and more, and I was thinking, you absolutely can't find your purpose unless you're authentic, right? So you have to find your authentic self first, because that's what's in harmony with the purpose, not this made-up version of yourself that you're carrying through the world for whatever reason. And there's no judgment, but the truth is, like all psychology knows this, the great thinkers of the world knew this, you know, it's almost very common knowledge that we make up a pseudo-self to take through the world so that we don't get hurt, so that we feel safe, we feel connected. We behave as we think others want us to behave. It's a go along to get along type of mentality. But when you do it to the extreme, like most people actually do, because that's the way that they're raised, we're not raised to be authentic, you know?
Right.
So think about this. It's like how many, you know, like I'll ask women all the time, how much did your parents tell you about sex? How much did your parents teach you about your menstrual cycle? And all the time, they'll be like, they didn't tell me anything about it. You know, I got my period, I thought I was dying. Boys, how much did your dads talk to you about sex? Like, how much did they tell you about what sexual intercourse was, how to treat a woman, how to ask for permission, how to keep yourself safe, how to think ethically about, like, how to understand your sexuality? Were you taught how to masturbate? Did your parents teach you how to masturbate? It's like, no.
True.
Right? So that's a part of ourself that's authentic. Where do we learn that, right? So if you just, the past few years, what's been the big thing here? Me too, right?
Sure.
So what are we learning about sexuality there? All the negative, right?
Yeah.
Who's teaching us the positive? Who in our life is teaching us the positive? Who is saying it's okay to be this person? It's okay to be this person. It's okay to be this person. We see it when somebody is pushing back against it because they've been suppressed. So when somebody has been suppressed because of their gender orientation, when somebody's been suppressed around their race, when somebody's suppressed around their sexuality, when somebody's repressed because of their gender in work or whatever. Like, we hear about it from a negative perspective, but where is the teaching for how do you help a child find their authentic self and then step into it? And one of the reasons why it requires a damn good amount of patience to be able to do that. You have to let a kid find out who they are, what they want. You have to let them have a voice, you know. Plus, you also have to direct them in, you know, virtues. Like, you have to be kind. You have to be patient. You have to treat people with respect. You can't just lash out and you have a tantrum like a two-year-old wants to, you know, all the time. There has to be some course correction, but it's also about helping the person find themselves, and we just don't do it.
Sure.
As a society, as a world in general, we do not do it. We teach kids who to be so that whatever fucked up idea we have in our mind about how they'll be safe and be able to make it through the world will work. And all it does is fuck them up because they never know who they are. And they live, you know, the old saying is they live quiet lives of desperation. And it's 100% true. And then we see somebody like a Michael Jordan, because we've been on a Jordan kick lately, or Kobe Bryant, or we see somebody like, I don't know, throw some names out there. You see somebody like an Anthony Bourdain. You see someone like Bezos. You see someone like Steve Jobs. You see someone like Richard Branson. You see people that do extraordinary things, and we're like, holy fuck, how the fuck are these people actually doing this? And then we want to learn all about them, and we hear books about them, and we talk about them forever. And look, he did this, and he was a killer on the court, and he had a, you know. You know what they really did? They accepted who they were. And when they accepted who they were, nothing else mattered. That was it. They accepted it, and that's it, and that's who they were. And the thing is that we're all killers on the court, on our own court, whatever it is. If we would just accept who we are and not negotiate with it, everybody would have that kind of success in whatever their purpose is.
Yeah.
You just would.
It's totally.
Jordan wouldn't let anybody else get in his head.
100%.
He wouldn't. Jobs wouldn't let anybody get in his head. And he's known for being the hugest dick
right.
face that there was around it. Like, he would tell you, fuck off. You know, you're a piece of shit. Jordan would do the same thing. It's just they put a nice shiny face on,
right.
on Michael. But he would not, you know, he knew what he wanted. He knew why he was there. He knew who he was, and he wasn't dumbing it down for anybody.
Yeah, so learning who you really are, stop chasing success, learn who you really are, and in essence, you be you. Like, be you, and honestly and unapologetically.
In bringing up The Last Dance again, like we're beating this
yeah,
thing to
no,
death.
Yeah, no,
but
not at
it's
all.
There's so many good lessons in
yes,
it.
Yes, there is.
I think it's the third episode is when they bring Rodman into the story.
Yes.
And Rodman is, he's good at what he does, but he's dysfunctional. He doesn't know who he is. And it was Madonna that right. set him straight, right. right? So Madonna wanted to date him. She starts hanging out with him. And she's like, you need to decide who you're going to be and fuck what other people think. And then Dennis became himself. And once he became himself, the world was right again.
That's right.
And he's a character. He's a flamboyant character. You either like him or you don't like him, but he could give a flying fuck, right? And then he became incredible as a rebounder after that.
Yeah. Well, totally, yeah. And he accepted who he was. He learned who he was, accepted it, and then he was no longer shackled by what people thought he should be or who he was. And his performance never dipped. He was still great. It's just that now he might have had a different, you know, colored hair.
Right.
He did. He kicked the camera guy on the side. You know, he was just Dennis being Dennis, but he had to go through that iteration to get to that place.
He did, but you know, the whole story about him being in the pickup truck with the
yes,
shotgun
yes.
was it was because he's torn between two worlds. Sure. Here's who I really am, but I can't be that because I won't be able to stay in my job. I won't be able to stay secure. I won't be able to do what I need to do. And you end up in total despair. You lose all hope
yeah.
when something like that comes into your life. You just gotta be you.
I mean, and as far as someone who struggles with concerning myself very much about how other people perceive me, it's really difficult sometimes to be truly authentic. But you know, I've heard over and over, and this has been a mantra that's been going on for at least the last year for sure, is that authenticity and vulnerability are like superpowers. They're like superpowers that all of us possess, but very few waken them up to the point where they utilize those. Why do you think that is? Is it just because we put on a mask and we don't want other people to hurt us? Or obviously it comes from years and years and years and layers and layers and layers of stuff that you got from your parents. But I feel like this vulnerability piece and authenticity, it's a challenge. It's a stretch.
Yeah, it is. And here's, it's because we have it backwards. If you look at the superheroes, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man.
Sure.
Most people think Superman, Batman, Spider-Man was the alter ego. It wasn't the alter ego. Clark Kent was the alter ego. Bruce Wayne was the alter ego, not Batman.
Yes.
Batman was who he really was,
right?
Superman is who he really was. The alter ego was the normal, straight-faced businessman, you know, just normal person in society. It's hard because we have this tremendous value that not to piss other people off, and we need to have other people accept us. It's ingrained in us over and over again. The other thing is, even if you're sitting passively in life, just being observer as a child growing into an adult, we watch people who step into their authenticity and then get destroyed for it by the media, right? So the media loves to build people up and tear them down. Again, with The Last Dance,
100%.
Jordan was amazing until his father died and they found out he liked to gamble and they tried to make it his fault. It's like, we're going to, the guy that we think is Superman, we're going to fucking trash him because we have the power to do that. It completely irresponsible. It's not journalism. It's clickbait in the 80s or 90s. It's horrific. But we see this over and over and over again. So the message becomes, care what the neighbors think.
Right.
And there are places in the world right now where you can be tortured or killed if you step outside of that box, but it was even more prevalent a couple hundred years ago. Salem witch trials, historic. All you had to do was accuse your neighbor of being a witch. Done.
Yeah, right.
Done. Because the only way to prove you weren't was to not die.
Right.
Right? or two died, like whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you, like
right. We're gonna burn you at the stake, and if you survive, you're a witch. If you don't, then oh well, you're move not on to the next.
Right, exactly. That's what it was. Yeah,
totally.
But here's the thing: all I had to do was accuse you. So now, if I don't stay in your good graces, if I slight you at all, you have the power to put me to death.
Right.
Right? So it was very real. You know, you have the whole things with the monarchies over the world. And you were not allowed to think thoughts outside of the king's thoughts. You know?
Sure.
You couldn't even mention the king ever dying. You couldn't talk about the king's death. It was like, it's treason. They'll kill you for it. You know, the punishment's death. The same thing with religion. You know, if you look at what King Henry VIII had to go through to change from Catholic to Protestant in England, like it was, the Reformation was a horrific time. It was a horrific, horrific time. So it's in the religion, it's in societies, it was in the monarchies and the dictators. I mean, the dictators of the world have been fucking horrific forever. Like, I don't know that there's ever been a good one. There may have been a good one, but I'm not.
They don't come to mind.
Yeah, if you look at them, you look at Stalin, you look at Pol Pot, you know, look at Hitler, you look at all these people, the atrocities when people did not agree with them or where they thought somebody was subservient, you know, or their race was shit because they said so, you know.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of people dead. Because of it, tortured, you know, horrific, horrific atrocities to the human race.
Yeah.
What we did to black people, African Americans, Haitians, you know, anybody of color coming from other countries or stealing them for other countries. Like it's, you learn very fast, in order to survive, I need to stay in the good graces of the master. I need to stay in good graces of the neighbor. I need anybody that's in power. I need to stay in their good graces because I need to be able to earn money. I need to be able to raise my kids. I need medical care. All the things that I need, somebody else is in control of. And if they don't approve of me, I don't get them anymore.
True.
And even today, we watch people who are accused of things have their entire careers wiped out. And there's not even any proof yet that they did it. They were just accused.
Yeah.
That's it. And now there's been people that have been proven innocent, but it's too late. Their careers were fucking destroyed. Destroyed.
True.
Over.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this is that I'm thinking about, because I've got two daughters, right? And they're both young adults. I've got one who's 19, one to soon be 17. And they are free thinkers. Like, we've raised some free thinkers thanks to being around you and elevating ourselves. But I straddle this line, right, where I'm trying to bring in how I was raised and how I was told into their lives. And they'll pretty much, I mean, they won't tell me to fuck off, but their eyes tell me that. And it's one of those situations where I sound like my mom or my dad, but I'm trying to parent them in a totally different way. And my head goes to, oh, they're entitled, they don't know a day's hard work. I mean, all the shit that I got from my mom and dad, who got it from their mom and dad, who got it from their mom and dad, and so on. And my kids have broken away from that, yet I'm still in this really weird, because I woke up, you know, relatively late as far as how this was, you know, probably I was in my mid-30s or whatever before I got on this journey. And it's interesting to see how I straddle that line until I stop and say, think about this for a minute. They did not grow up when you grew up. They do not have what you don't have. It's not that they are entitled.
And where you grew up.
And where I grew up. Yeah, it's so funny that I want to immediately turn it to, oh, they're just entitled. Oh, they don't know how to work hard. They don't understand. And I sound like the get off my lawn guy.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I'm trying to pull my upbringing into theirs, because so often people, they take their, how they were raised from their parents, and they give it to their kids, and then their kids give it to their kids until a generation comes along and says no. And I think I say all this because we are raising a generation, at least the kids that I know, of free thinkers. They will tell you if something is silly, like organized religion. They will be the first ones to say, it's just a bunch of stories in a book. I don't get it. Now, if I would have said that to my grandparents, I probably would have got a switch,
right?
I probably would have got slapped around a little bit. But nowadays, it's like, I don't understand that because this is what I do. So it's just really interesting to see how things change and how, you know, you do straddle that line of doing what you were raised to do. And then,
well, it also points out, like, so pay attention to those the individual thoughts that happen with that, because it tells you where you're rooted in the security of that idea.
Sure.
Right? So if it was at hard work or somebody being entitled and judging someone or whatever, if you look back, you can find out where is the link in the security around me believing that. And then I perpetuate it on to somebody else. Because really what's happening is when the girls start to think of something that's outside of your value system, it threatens your safety,
100%,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, here's a new idea, right? So that can't be. That's not okay. That's not good. This is the way that it is. I'm older. I'm now going to use my authority.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm going to step in. And I did the same thing with my kids. I mean, I had to like back up. And then it was, you know, I think, again, you know, my mentor set me free on this. He basically said to me, your job's just to guide them. They have to make their own mistakes and find out.
Yes.
Don't live their life for them. Let them go out there and figure it out on their own, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do.
It's hilarious because my oldest daughter made a proclamation at dinner last night that she said, I've decided to only go outside the house once a week because I just get so tired, I can't even handle it. And my head, I was about ready to explode. Like the old me would have been, are you kidding me right now? Get outside.
When I was a kid, I went outside from 8 o'clock in the morning till eight, you know, there I was.
And I just took a breath. I stopped. I proceeded mindfully and I didn't really say much. I'm like, oh, good for you. When in my head, I'm thinking, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. It's just, I wanted to take something from what I was raised about, like, get out of the damn house, to my daughter, who's like, I'm totally comfortable being who I am. And if I'm going to sit in the house for 6 out of 7 days, then that's what I'm going to do. She still gets her work done. She still does her chores. She still does everything else. But my head wanted to be like, are you freaking kidding me? Go throw rocks at cars or go, you know, jump in the creek. Right. I'm always trying to put myself.
And in 2 weeks, it'll probably change with another proclamation.
100%. Yeah. It's so funny to see this generation. But all that to say, I think it's really interesting when you, well, especially if you're a parent nowadays, just seeing free thinkers, I think it shouldn't threaten you. Like you said, it should give you a burst of gratitude. Like, oh my God, these kids are going to change the world.
Yeah,
because that's what they're going to do. I love it. Yeah. I wrote down a couple truth bombs here that I just wanted to just call back from the episode. I did want to call back one thing that you just mentioned about the superheroes. You know, you had Todd Herman on this show back in episode 54, and he wrote the alter ego effect, where that was the first time I heard that it wasn't actually Clark Kent who was, you know, who was the superhero, you know, who was the alter ego. It was Superman. That's the real deal. It's the, you know, it's that Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne. Those are the unexpressed people. The other ones are the ones that are in their full expression.
Right.
So go back and listen to that. It's a really good book too. I'd encourage that. He's a good dude. But yeah, one of the truth bombs, you can't ask for what you want if you don't know what you want. Like that hit me right between the eyes because I've said before, there are times when I'm not quite sure what I want. And it's like looking outside of me like, hey, Steph, would you tell me what I want? Like I have a hard time even making a decision.
Right.
And it's when you say things like that, I'm like, God, I really need to figure this out. Another thing you said, find your own voice, claiming what you want in every situation. Stop letting others tell you who you should be or what you should be, like the good boy, the good girl, the bad boy, the bad girl. Like it's a constant label that we're pulling. And you brought up rebellion there. And I'm always fascinated with why we rebel. Can you talk a little bit more about rebellion and how it relates to this topic of your purpose? Like you are in rebellion to or against your family?
Yeah, well, the idea, the energy around rebellion is to break away from our parents. It's not a bad thing, right? But what ends up happening is that, I mean, let's face it, a kid can only rebel so much. They're under the authority of the parents, you know, until they get to the age where they can break away and take care of themselves. But when they get stuck in rebellion, it's usually rebellion to an idea or an ideology or a way of being, which means that that idea or that ideology is controlling the way that they think. So they're stuck in just the opposite. Anything that's the opposite of what my dad did, anything that's the opposite of what my mother did, but it's not allowing them to really think about what they actually like because they're so focused in, I need to get away. And the only way to get away is to not be that. So if they stay in the not being that, they can't find what they do want to be. Right? So it stays connected to the story. So whether you have a child that is like, I'm going to be dad or I'm not going to be dad, they're both connected to whatever dad was in the first place.
Sure.
They're making decisions out of that instead of going, forget about dad. What do I want?
Yes.
Forget about dad. Forget about mom. What do I want? Right?
Well, yeah.
And just allowing that natural desire to come up in them to say, here's what your preferences are. Try this. Maybe you like this. Like with your daughter making that proclamation. She's trying to find herself, yeah. right? So I did this and I didn't like that. I was exhausted. So I'm going to do the extreme. I'm not going to do that and see if I like doing this any better. And that's why it'll change again, because she'll be like, well, I fucking don't like that either. So I need to find something, you know, else. And she'll find what fits for her. But that's the whole point. She's finding her.
Yeah. And you can't jump in and save them. You got to let them find their own way. 100%. Even though it's so much easier for someone to do something for you, it's in the long run, that's not a good situation.
But you know what I think, though? If you do that, you end up with somebody who becomes resentful and passive aggressive.
Yes.
Because they just don't have the strength to say what they want. But they do want things. They're just not able to say it. So that energy is going to come out in a negative way in a relationship.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but no one on this planet triggers me more than my oldest. And it's because she says what's on her mind, and I have never been able to say what's on my mind. So that's the job. That's my work.
Yeah.
So you can see that the work never ends here, obviously. Okay, in the episode, and we'll just kind of wind down with this, you mentioned the silent killer. And if I'm not mistaken, you were talking about the negative thoughts that swim around in a person's head. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
So how do you begin? So let's say you're one of those people out there who has these negative thoughts that's in their head, whether they got it from their parents or they get it from their coworkers, and they just have a hard time getting out of negativity. How do you start to take steps to silence those voices? Is it just doing the thing, or is there more to it than that? Like, do the thing to silence the voices, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I think that the idea is, whose voice is it? Because when you first hear the voice, you think it's you. But then when somebody says, whose voice is it? It causes you to think, well, it may not be mine. Whose is it? So then what we find out is that our mind is repeating something that we heard somewhere, something that was repeated to us. But that's where you can create this separation, because then you could say, okay, so that's my mom's voice. What is my voice saying? And if we're really quiet, if we're still with ourselves, we can hear something else. We can hear a faint desire that's saying, no, go this way, or no, you want tater tots for dinner, or whatever it might be. You want something different, say what you want. And then you start to give that expression. But as long as somebody else's voice is in your head, then what ends up happening is that you're following the direction of somebody else. Proctor used to say, you're not even setting your own goals. You're living somebody else's goals in life. But you don't even know. You're saying you want something, but it's not what you want. It's what your dad wanted, right? Or it's what your grandmother wanted,
right,
or whatever. So you've not gotten in touch with yourself yet. But it's silent because you think it's you. You think it's you your whole life. And people will go to their grave thinking it's them. But then there's the other thing. I wake up to it when I'm 40.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a wife. I've got kids.
Responsibilities.
I've got responsibilities. I've got 20 years in a job, right? I have a possible retirement, pension, 401k, whatever, healthcare. House is halfway paid off, whatever, right? It's like, I've got a lot of momentum in the direction of mediocrity.
Yes. And it's just easier to stay on that train.
It's easier to stay on that train.
Yeah.
But now that I'm awakened to it, I start to gradually become more miserable.
Yeah.
And more miserable with the people that are in my life, because it's not that I don't love them or care about them. I think it's important to say that, but it's not necessarily who you want to be with either. A lot of times we pick a spouse based on who we were when we were 20, right?
Sure.
So like when I got married, when I was 22. So when I think back to who I was when I was 22 years old, I was basically an extension of a 16-year-old in a 22-year-old body. That's really what I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know. I was trying to live. I was trying to survive my childhood. I had no idea who I was or what I wanted. Yet I picked this woman and said, this I will be for the rest of my life.
We will death have do us part.
Children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And, you know.
That was it. You were on the train.
That's it. That's it. And how can I pick somebody to say, this is who I'm going to stay married to for all of my life if I don't even know who I am?
Yeah.
Right? So now if I wake up to that and I go, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Like, now you have to, you got to turn the Titanic around, basically, right? Then you have to question the marriage. Then you have to question the family. Do I want to be in a family unit? Do I not want to have responsibilities? I can't just not take care of my responsibilities, although I've known people that don't. Like, I personally know some people that when they woke up to this, they walked away from everything. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree with it. I'm just saying I know people that have actually done it. They were like, I'm on the wrong ship. This isn't for me. And they went out and they did something completely different. There's a lot of historical records about people doing that. Again, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. It's for a person's own, own decision to make. But these are the struggles that people have. It's like, I built half a life on a fucked up ideology that wasn't even mine, and I didn't even know it. Like, what kind of cruel fucking joke is that? Now I got to change it. How do I change it? And some people choose not to.
Right.
But those are the people, like, if you look into their soul, you can see how desperately unhappy that they are. They shut their sexuality off. They shut their desire for anything off. They stay busy in busy work. They're never really productive. They give all their aspirations away. Their dreams are gone. They end up living for other individuals, you know? And I think they kind of like delude themselves like a drug or something as to what life is about and what makes them happy. And then you get, then that's where the crazy sayings come from. Money won't make you happy. You know, great marriage isn't everything. You know, I mean, it's like sex is underrated or overrated or whatever. It's like we get crazy, crazy Midwestern justification sayings that are completely not true. But there are things that people had to do to adjust to be able to live the rest of their lives in substandard mediocrity. And
that is no way to live. That's a prison
without committing suicide.
Yeah,
because that's no way to live. You have that. You have that too. You have people that go all the way to that far edge where they completely lose hope.
Right,
they can't figure out how to turn it around because then you have this internal thing where everything I do to try to change this is wrong. And it'll be viewed wrong, and I'm selfish, and I'm no good, and everybody will hate me. And here's the thing. A lot of what they're saying is true. They're going to get that viewpoint from a lot of people, right? People are going to be really pissed when that person decides to turn around because a bunch of people have staked their life on who you were being.
Yes.
You know? So.
Yeah, and you're leaving them behind.
And you're leaving them behind.
And that is so painful, but yet it is so necessary because we've had to do it in our own lives.
Here's the thing. They're doing it too. They just don't know it yet.
True. It's very true. Yeah, we could go on about this. We got to wind it down. But I will tell you, we want everyone who listens to this podcast to find their purpose and don't realize it's not something you have to chase. It's something that's already here. Just get quiet. Like you said, go and take a couple hours and just write down how you see this life and how you see your life and listen for the voices that come up and decide what you're going to do today to start awakening that purpose because it's there. It's in all of us. It's 100%. Just a matter of, you know, taking that next step. So, well, this has been great. Excellent episode. So appreciate it. Mind blown as always. Thanks for coming inside, David.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.